Matthew 27, verse 36. Just one very brief verse this morning. And sitting down, they watched him there. They watched him die. They heard him say some things. They saw his face and his wounds. Everyone saw a man hanging on a cross. But what else did they see, if anything? When you see this, when we study these verses, these last chapters of Matthew, what do you see? This direct context here is speaking of the men who had just gambled to see who would get his robe, his clothing, his vesture. What did they see? These are the ones that had abused him and mocked him all the way. What were they doing now? Were they gloating? Were they laughing? We know that wicked men were not done mocking him in verses 39 through 44. They continued to mock and scorn him. Not everyone there mocked him that day. We know that his mother was there. The Apostle John was there. He spoke to them both from the cross. The important question this morning is, what do you see? And by God's grace, I can tell you what I see, some of it, a little bit. And I see it by God's grace. By His sovereign grace alone, we're able to see more than just a man dying on a cross. And in one word, which is hard to just use one word concerning what happened there, but this is a pretty good word. I see salvation. I see free, full, accomplished salvation. The salvation of sinners. The salvation of His people, His sheep, from their sins. But Chris, maybe you're thinking, Chris, how can you see accomplished salvation there when you weren't saved until 2,000 years later? I wasn't saved. How can you say He accomplished salvation there? I'll tell you how. Two things, two very important things we see there. We see that salvation is an eternal work of God. God's people have been saved. And they're being saved. And they shall ultimately be saved. As we've seen in the text here, in the context of this verse, everything that happened there happened that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And what are the Scriptures but the revelation of God's eternal purpose of grace in Christ toward His people? What did God reveal in the saving of His people from Egypt? We studied the book of Exodus and we saw how that by the shedding of blood and the killing of a lamb and that blood going on the doorposts and at the top of the door, that God delivered His people from bondage. And here we know that Christ is our Passover. If this one, that verse 35 in our text, in our context this morning, says was crucified, this one who was crucified, they crucified him. If that person who was crucified that day is your lamb, your Passover, then God will not punish you for your sin. Deliverance, salvation, freedom from bondage. That's what we see here. And it's an eternal work. God's been declaring it from the beginning. If He is your Passover, you will not die, but He has died in your place. He will rather free you from bondage. and bless you eternally. What did God reveal in all of the deliverances wrought by all of the champions and judges of Israel when delivering his people from their enemies? All of the victories over all of the enemies of earthly Israel. What was pictured in those triumphs? What was pictured by every lamb, every bullock, every goat, every drop of blood shed in the Old Testament? How was Moses saved? By what happened in our text, by the person and the work that he accomplished in our text. That's why when we look, when we sit down, by God's grace, he said, "Be still and know that I'm God." We sit down and watch him. Key word, there. We watch him there. We watch him there in the book of Genesis. We watch him there in the book of Exodus. We watch him there in all of the Word of God. Because this is an eternal salvation. How was Abel saved? How were Enoch and David and Abraham saved? Salvation's an eternal work. The blood that was shed on Calvary is the blood. The scriptures call that blood the blood. In Hebrews 13:20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect." And I want you to think about this, what he's saying here. He said, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Okay? And then the benediction begins. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you perfect. How are you going to stand perfect before God? The blood. And listen to it. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Working in you, make you perfect in every good work to do what's well-pleasing in his sight. What makes you perfect before God? The blood. What makes your works perfect before God? The blood. Through faith in his blood. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But through Christ Jesus, through his indwelling power, Paul said, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And by that precious blood, all that we are and all that we do is perfect before God. Holy, acceptable, righteous. All that we do by faith. Christ himself is the surety of that everlasting covenant of grace, of which his blood is the blood. His blood has secured all of the blessings of that covenant for his people. Eternal life, holiness, the eternal fellowship and blessing of God. His blood secured that. And it did so eternally. That's what we're saying now. Salvation's an eternal work. Ephesians 1. I won't have you turn there, but listen carefully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Does that sound like salvation to you? In whom we have redemption through his blood. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, and in him, which we are before the world began, we have redemption through his blood. I've always been redeemed. Eternal. And do you know what we're going to be singing in eternity? I'm tempted, and sometimes we have to try to clarify, though we're stupid and don't know what we're saying, don't know how to even talk about eternity. We speak of eternity past and eternity future. There is no future or past in eternity. But in eternity, you know what we're going to be singing about? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor. You see how what we see, we look at the cross and we see eternity. We see an eternal salvation. Even they, there, those perfect angels, when they look to him who hung there that day, what do they see? Worthy is the Lamb. Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Oh, they're singing about our text this morning. They're still watching him. And they still see what I pray by God's grace we see right now. The eternal salvation of God in a person. And a lamb slain. Revelation 7:9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. How were they white? Who are these in the white, arrayed in white? These are they which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, you know what the first word they said was? When they're looking at the Lamb, they stand in their white because they're washed in the blood. And they're beholding the Lamb. And you know what the first word out of their mouth was? Salvation. Salvation unto our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Oh, do you see God's salvation? Christ is the eternal Savior. Salvation is an eternal work. He has always been my Savior. I just found out about it one day. By His grace, He revealed Himself to me. And I said, there's my Savior. There's my Savior. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the what? The beginning. Chosen you to what? Salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Number two. Salvation is a person. That's why I can look at the cross and see salvation accomplished. We're not the only ones who have looked upon him and seen salvation. You remember Simeon? In Luke chapter 2, verse 30. He looked at Jesus of Nazareth and said to God, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Was Simeon at the cross then? No, probably not. He wasn't when he said this. What's the significance of that? He was looking at an 8-day-old baby. And he saw the same thing that we see when we look at Calvary. Salvation. I've seen your salvation. Why? Because salvation is a person, not an event. The person. He was God's salvation before he was ever born into this world. He is the child born, Isaiah 9, but also the eternal Son that was given by God. His gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Do you know who that is? That's his Son. A Son given to redeem his people from their sins. This is who Simeon saw. And he said, salvation. In eternity, they're looking at him and saying, salvation. And so what do we see this morning when we look, when we watch him? This little baby that Simeon looked into the face of was made under the law. He was there that day to be circumcised according to the law. Made under the law. Born under the law. Why? That he might redeem them that are under the law. And how did he do that? With that precious blood that flowed down that tree. The precious blood that came out of him when they whipped him and pressed the thorns down upon his brow and ripped out his beard and pierced his hands and feet inside. He hung there crucified with the sins of his people on him, condemned by the law of God in their place, and suffered the penalty of that law against them. The very wrath of God against sin, against my sin. He was God's salvation before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He was God's salvation when he was 8 days old. He was God's salvation when he said, "It's finished." He was God's salvation the day he revealed himself to me. And this morning, if you need to be saved, I've got something to say to you. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life this morning, and he that hath not the Son this very morning hath not life. In eternity, salvation is attributed unto the Lamb that was slain. And right now, in eternity, as we sit here, he is God's salvation. Do you see salvation in the crucified Son of God? Do you see in him how God can be just and yet justify you? Do you see your sins washed away in that precious blood? What do you see this morning? Many see in him merely an example, a martyr, an opportunity to be saved, but salvation's up to them. But by God's grace, I see salvation. Free, full, finished salvation. What do you see? And they watched him there. Every word deserves our attention. They, who? Sinners. Vile, wretched sinners. Expressing the ultimate depravity in crucifying the Son of God, they, what'd they do? They watched. They looked upon the very Son of God. They watched him. And they watched him there. Have you ever just sat down as they did and contemplated the spectacle of this man, the God-man, dying on a cross? May we spend this entire year watching, looking, beholding him, and praying to God that we might see. That's what we're doing this morning, some of us. I pray most of us. I pray all of us. Beholding the Son of God, do you see his blood? Do you hear his word of forgiveness? His word of triumph? His word of victory. And let me say this, salvation is without question the eternal work of God. Christ, the person, the man, the God-man, is without question now and always has been the salvation of God. But we need to understand also that this in our text, this is the hour. They watched him there. They watched him there. It wasn't Christ in the manger now that was pictured by the slain Passover lamb. David said in Psalm 85:10, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Where'd that happen? It happened there. Right here at the cross. We don't preach, Paul said, Christ the example or Christ the benefactor of man. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:23, "We preach Christ crucified." Oh, may it be so. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ crucified, the power of God, and Christ crucified, the wisdom of God. May we declare him. If God gives us another year, oh, may we with all of our hearts and by God's grace, with his power and blessing, declare Christ crucified. This is why we must, with Paul, determine to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Isaiah said, "It is by his stripes that we are healed." Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Paul said in Hebrews 9:16, for where a testament is, a covenant is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. They watched him there. We've seen already here our own depravity. We sold him for 30 pieces of silver, falsely accused him, we believed a lie concerning him. We condemned the sinless one. We said we have a law, and by our law he ought to be crucified. We said his blood be upon us and upon our children. We abused and cruelly despised our king now as the king. We expressed our hatred of him in every way we could think of to express it as king. It was when they had the purple robe on him and the crown of thorns on his brow and the reed in his hand that they said, Hail, King of the Jews, and spit on him. People love to look upon him and see a martyr, a servant, a benefactor, somebody to give them what they want. More loaves and fishes, Lord, you know. They love to picture him standing outside the door knocking, waiting on somebody to get good and ready to let him in. They love to picture him in a manger. They don't mind him creating the universe and holding the stars in place. But when he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. When he says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. They gnash their teeth. We rejected him as king, and we still do by nature. Do you see a king when you look at the cross? Do you see the king of his people, the king of God's kingdom, the sovereign lamb, the one who said, I give life to whom I will? Do you see the one who said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself and I take it up again? Do you see the one of whom Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, a little baby, but unto us the Son of God was given. God gave his Son to us. God so loved that he gave. And I tell you who this Son is. The government shall be upon his shoulder. He's not a little baby anymore. He never was just a little baby. He's the governor. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Does anybody lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. God will send you the counselor. The mighty God. That's who that son is. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. This is who hung on that cross. The Prince. The Prince of Peace. Peter said, you killed the Prince of Life. And you did it according to the foreknowledge and counsel of God. We must, by God's grace, somehow see the glory of God here. When Moses said, show me thy glory, O God, show me. Give me a glimpse of your glory. God said, I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to have mercy. And this is how God has mercy on sinners. By the blood of his son. Where was the blood splashed? When the high priest came to that one place that all of the camp of God revolved around. What did he do? He splashed the blood on the what? The mercy seat. There's only one way God can have mercy and have communion with sinners. That's by that precious blood. I'll have mercy. And Moses saw God's glory that day. Christ is our mercy seat. When the Lord said, the Lord Jesus in John 17, he said, the hour is come. And the next words out of his holy mouth were what? Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. If we look there and we don't see God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ, then we just don't have eyes to see. when Judas went out to betray the Son of God to be crucified. In John 13:31, the Lord Jesus said right then as he left, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Has God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shined in your black heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? What do you see? He is glorified there. They watched him there, and he's glorified there in all of his attributes. His justice. He will by no means clear the guilty. His holiness is glorified there. His eternal, infinite love for his people. His mercy and grace. Oh, may God grant that we might see here this morning as we watch him there, his very glory. And may we see finally this morning, as we watch him there, may we see reason to worship and to serve him. Paul said his people see that when they watch him there. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, he said, "The love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge." God constrains his people. He works in us what's well-pleasing in his sight, as we read a while ago. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know how he does it? He changes our judgment. He changes our thinking. His love constrains us because we thus judge. He changed the way we judge things. And this is the way we judge things now, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Because he died for us, we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for us and rose again. Do you judge that way? Is that the way you think? Is that your reckoning of things? So when we look and we watch him there, do we see reason to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God by that blood, which is our reasonable service? May God make it so. The love of Christ constraineth us. Do you see that love? Do you see that God so loved? And does that love constrain you to love him indeed, not in word only? Do you love him because? We love him because of what happened there. Because he so loved us. If we can watch him there and come away the same as we were before we did, then we haven't seen him. May God give us a glimpse this morning and keep him before our eyes. Hold thou thy cross before our eyes, we sing. And may he cause us to see the Lamb that died there. And see him where John saw him. He's not in the manger this morning. He's not on the cross this morning. He is the Lamb slain this morning. And he's on the throne. And when we look at him there, we see our King. We see our Sovereign, and we bow. And we sing, "Worthy." May God give us a glimpse this morning and throughout this year. May he bless our eyes that we might see by his free grace. Let's pray together.